Deadpan Podcast begins in 5, 4, 3. All right, cue standard deadpan opening.
Something, 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 something.
Deadpan.
Something, something, something.
Podcast.
Something, something, something.
Jack Mangan.
Something, something. Something, something, something.
Octopus Inc.
Something, 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 something.
All right, and welcome to Deadpan number 111. That's 111. I feel like that's significant. We should do something to recognize the beauty of all ones. All right. Thank you very much to the Energizer Bunny for something. And also to Vanamond and Espy, who I suspect will hear something from them as well. They answered the call. I asked for, I said I needed some silly recording, and the three of them all stepped up. So this episode actually breaks the standard deadpan format. Imagine that. For one thing, it's going to be commercial-free. That's right, we're bringing this one to you commercial-free. Which means I'm just not going to run a promo this time. I've recently spoken to the talented and lovely Rich Siegfried. I'm not sure how lovely he is, but from Requiem of the Outcast. And the conversation went for about an hour. So what we're going to do is you're going to hear about the first half of that in this episode right here, Deadpan number 111. But then rather than wait for next week, we're actually going to run Deadpan number 112 on Friday, sometime Friday afternoon. I'm not sure exactly when, so I'm not sure when you're going to hear it, but Deadpan number 112 will run on Friday. That will have Deadpan 112 will have the conclusion, the dramatic, exciting finale of the Rich Siegfried interview, as well as the Greasy Spoon comments for the week. So you'll have to wait for Friday for your nipples. And so that's about it. Momentarily, you will hear the gong. There is one bit of very timely content that really could not wait that has to run today, because this is actually the episode that is going to be released on Thanksgiving Eve in the United States. So happy Thanksgiving to all the American listeners. And for the rest of the world, happy late November Thursday. Intro babble, end. All right, so good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Deadpan and all ships at sea. We are honored to have one of podcasting's greatest talents, one of the great megastars of podcasting. And that's not being ironic and sarcastic, I'm being serious. This guy's a man of a thousand voices. You know him from Requiem of the Outcast and Mr. Adventure, as well as like a whole bunch of other stuff. But I'm honored to have on Mr. Frit Ridgesick. No. Rich Siegfried is on. Thanks, Rich, for coming on.
Not a problem, Jack. Glad to be on.
So tell us a little bit about... Well, there's lots for you to tell us about. So tell us about anything at all that you want.
Well, according to a small book I have on my table here, it says, "Humor, It Helps Us as We Age," by Michael J. Ferrell. Some may say that aging, with its various discomforts, limitations, and fears, is no time for lightheartedness. Hollywood director Frank Capra had an answer. The next best thing to solving a problem is finding some humor in it. And apparently, being able to read is something that is helpful. And that's right. That was right on top of the "when someone you love has a gambling problem." I'm not quite sure why I picked that up.
I don't know. I don't know if there's humor in that, but there is humor. There's inadvertent humor though when somebody stumbles over what they're reading, which, you know.
I think that's kind of just making fun of people with like reading disabilities and stuff. I'm not quite sure if that's a nice thing.
Well, no, it didn't say nice humor. It's just humor in general.
Well, fair enough.
which is why I edit this show, because I often do that. But, you know, I don't want people laughing at me, quite that much. You know, I think they do that enough. So,
well, a little bit is always good. I think that's why intrinsically the slapstick humor is so funny and is such a marketable humor genre. Because, it's a little bit of schadenfreude, and let's face it, when somebody slips on a banana peel, it just is funny. I think that it is inherently funny. It is something that is one of the first senses of humor that is developed in a child. I should actually come up with the six senses of humor. I don't know. There seems like there's a kernel of a good idea buried there. You'd have slapstick. You'd have potty humor. You'd have sarcasm. Oh, would you? Let's see here. There'd be referential humor. What else would there be? Expletive humor, which is just when somebody drops an F-bomb and it's funny. And I'm sure there's a sixth one. I haven't thought of it yet since this was all off the top of my head.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a good... This isn't going to be that funny, but there's a really funny joke in there if I had more time to think about it. But, you know, when you say the six senses of humor, I just kind of picture, like, having a little kid, like, under his covers, like, saying, like, I see not funny people or something.
You know, like... I see carrot top.
Right. There you go.
Prop humor. Prop humor would probably be the sixth one, then.
There you go. See, that all connected there.
Exactly. Full circle. Much like if I learned anything from any Elton John songs, there's a circle, something to do with living. What was that called? Rocket Man.
Yeah, it was Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. That's what I learned.
Exactly. That's good street fighting music, actually.
Yeah, you know, nothing gets the pit started like Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so let's talk about you, goddammit. You know, let's talk about you.
I'm fine with that premise. Completely fine with that.
So, I mean, I don't know, you know, the deadpan interview machine is a little bit rusty because we recently had T and Pip on, which basically means just hit record and they go, and, you know, God bless them, they give great content. But so let's just say what I usually tend to do is talk about your past, like how you got where you are, and then talk about where you are and where you're headed.
Well, I drove my van from work to my apartment, and I'm currently in my kitchen.
Fascinating. And well, and what's next? Living room?
Well, to get to the front door, because I'm going to be going out for dinner later on, get some nice Chinese. There's this great Chinese buffet. They've got these, they've got the crab rangoon on there, and you got the stuffed mushrooms. Ah, tasty stuff. Wait, am I allowed to curse on this?
Oh, fuck yeah. But no, what kind of humor would that be where you give the...
Oh, that would be the expletive humor.
Well, no, well, obviously that would, but, you know, where I ask a question and you sort of give the absurd answer. When I say, you know, tell me about your past, and you say, well, I just drove here. I don't even know what kind of humor that would be. Would that be deadpan humor?
Yeah, deadpan humor. Hey, wait, did I win something? Is it that like the secret word? Is it like Groucho Marx going to come out? You just had a secret word. That'd be cool. Exactly. Or do we have to do the Pee Wee Herman? Yeah! You know what they say when you say the secret word, kids?
We need to...
Sure, that peaked just a little bit.
That's fine.
Make a lick a high, make a hiney ho.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
You want me to keep going with the Paul Rubens humor? Name two guys that were shot in the back of the head in a movie theater. You got Abraham Lincoln and the guy who sat in front of Pee Wee. All right, that again would be the graphic humor.
Yes, I think it's a little too soon for those Abe Lincoln jokes too. You know,
too soon for the Abe Lincoln or the Pee Wee Herman?
The Abe Lincoln. You know, it's still a little too soon for that.
Did you say Abe Lincoln?
Yes.
I have actually. Speaking of Abe Lincoln, to completely cut you off there, I came up with this idea for a series. You know, because I clearly don't have enough to do already, but. It's basically where a hero travels through time with Abraham Lincoln to fight this bad guy named Dr. Fantastical. Now, that's an exclusive. I've only told a very few people. I haven't even mentioned it on any of my shows or anything like that, but that's going to be a web series down the road. I think it's tentatively called Dr. Fantastical's Something. Magic Circus? I don't even remember anymore.
And what are Abe Lincoln's powers? I mean, what are his superpowers?
Well, what ends up happening, and this is, as I'm hoping, it'll start off in the Mr. Adventure universe, and then it'll spin off into its own, where Mr. Adventure ends up meeting this Dr. Fantastical guy who steals things from the past and brings them into the present to teach kids about history. So, like, he'll grab a dinosaur and bring it up into the present, and so that way kids can see what a dinosaur looks like, or, you know, whatever, historical figures. So it's a little bit Dr. Floyd, a little bit it's a reverse Dr. Floyd meets Bill and Ted. I realize that, but Mr. Adventure helps free Abraham Lincoln, and they run off Dr. Fantastical, and then Abraham Lincoln then gives pursuit, because when he was taken was actually just before he went to Ford's Theater, and they had actually, you know, you'd be thinking, oh no, they've got to put him back, otherwise it's going to mess up history. But it won't, because that was the first time that they actually did a trial run of having a stand-in president, which, of course, you know, the stand-in gets shot, so he can't really go back, because everybody's like, oh, he's dead, and he's like, well, I guess I'm free now to go and fight evil and Dr. Fantastical while he's traveling through time.
Something.
I guess it shouldn't, but it's sort of reminiscent of Bubba Hotep, you know, where Elvis actually was still alive because of, you know, he, you remember, he deferred, he left everything over to his replacement, his imposter.
Right, and that's kind of what I was saying, that, you know, although it's not going to be the contract or anything like that, and it's not going to be any, it's not going to be the faux Abraham Lincoln. It's not going to be anything that he did to mess everything up. It was just, you know, they were just giving it a test. Turns out he ends up getting shot because, see, Abraham Lincoln thought it'd be funny. He didn't want to go to that play. And so he just sends the imposter because his wife is half blind. And so he ends up getting shot, but the guy's really good at being Abraham Lincoln. So everybody just buys it. And he's like, well, I could go back and I could completely mess everything up, but clearly in the history, I'm supposed to die there. So I'm just going to gallivant through time. I think it was called Dr. Fantastical's Time Traveling Circus. I think that's what I was going to call it.
Okay, but Dr. Fantastical is the villain.
Yes, Dr. Fantastical is the villain. It's going to be a series that's actually named after the villain. You know, I was thinking about calling it Dr. Fantastical versus Abraham Lincoln, but I don't think I will. And actually, surprisingly enough, Dr. Fantastical is not really used anywhere. Nobody has come up with that name before. Kind of like when Davey originally created, that would be Davey Beauchamp, when he originally created Mr. Adventure, there was nobody using that name. That was not an actual, like, copywritten name. I mean, it is now, but...
Right.
Can you hold on a second? Apparently there's somebody at my door.
Sure.
Don't know why. Hold on. This should make for good podcasting. All right, I just told some little kid that I'm allergic to cookies, so I wouldn't have to buy them from her.
Oh, that's fine, Rich. But you know what? I actually just got a seriously critical phone call came in, so I'm just going to, if you can just hang out for a minute, I'm just going to talk to this person for, like, it's going to be like 2 minutes. That's all right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Sorry.
No worries.
This is amazing timing. Okay.
Isn't it?
Hello.
Yo.
Okay. So we just had this big, long pause here, and we're at the same time, your doorbell rang, and then while you were answering the door, it was like Girl Scout cookies or something, you said, right? And then I got this important phone call, so we have about 10 minutes of silence there, and I'm not going to cut that. I'm going to just make everyone listen to that.
You're not going to cut that? Wow.
Yeah.
You know what you could do if you do that? I would suggest dropping in maybe perhaps some audio that I've produced. One thing I'd like to recommend is if you go to outcastmultimedia.com/PRS, the number 4, Prez, P-R-E-S, you can hear a few of my takes on various things in my pursuit of the presidency in 2008.
That's right. Yeah, you definitely get my vote. I understand that your opponent, I believe, is Earl Newton.
It was. You know, funny story about that is I had originally done a campaign video, and as it turned, and it was a total attack ad against Earl Newton, and apparently I was misinformed by my staff, and turns out he wasn't even running. He says he wasn't running. I think he is. I think he's that sly. I think he's out there trying to take votes away from me. I mean, come on, really. I'm out here trying to represent all of us podcast Americans out here. And I think Earl was scared. And that's why he's gone into hiding. And he's only going to pop up on November 4th and just say, okay, vote for me now. And he's going to have everybody, you know.
Yeah, obviously, right. It's just, you know, all backhanded stuff. But now, if you can guarantee that podcasting will turn huge profits, then you got my vote.
Well, as I said in one of my recent releases, I have been touched by the noodly appendage of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And so I am actually going to be enacting many different faith-based initiatives. And one of those would be kind of a bailout, maybe a subsidification for podcasters, because obviously a minority podcast Americans, really, they don't even show up on the census. And this is the stuff that I'm going to change. And right. But that's why I need everybody's support on November 4th.
Right. This is, you know, we need someone out there to support our lifestyle, to represent our lifestyle, you know, since we're podcast Americans.
Exactly. I didn't choose to be a podcaster. It's in my genes. Right. I couldn't help it. You couldn't help it. Come on. It's a lifestyle choice. I mean, most of us think about it 24/7, you know. Right.
You can trace our genetics back to, you know, the ham radio operators. You know, it's just we're in this exactly. weird little club. And so, who will be your running mate then?
I really haven't gotten that far yet. Now, if you go to funnyordie.com, there's a fellow on there, Sam McCletchen. He's actively running to be somebody's vice president. Doesn't matter whose. So I'm thinking about hitting him up really. But of course, I'm willing to take whoever gets whoever comes in second in the presidential election. I mean, come on, Obama, McCain, doesn't really matter. I mean, they're going to be doing what I say anyway, right? So, you know, whoever has you know the next closest amount of electoral votes next to me, I'm fine with.
As long as your VP is in a dress, though, I think that's the ticket to getting headlines this year was to have your VP in a dress.
Honestly, I'd be willing to basically have Tina Fey if she dresses up like Palin. I'm fine with that. Actually, I'd be fine with Tina Fey even if she wasn't dressed like Sarah Palin. I'd be fine with her if she dressed up like Michael Palin.
Yeah, I'd be fine with Tina Fey. Yeah, you know, she's got that whole geek girl thing going, you know.
Yeah. And she's really smart and really funny, too. Total turn-on for me. I mean, not that the vice presidency would be, you know, it's not like it's the first lit. No comment.
Yeah, I think you just, right, you've painted that corner, yeah, or you've painted yourself into that corner, I should say.
What but corner? I'm aiming for the Oval Office, baby. There's no corners in an oval.
Very, very clever here. So, well, like, now that's, this. You've already touched on two of the, I think you have a bunch of projects. I think it looks like you got like, I don't know, 4,000 different things that you got going.
Yeah, somewhere between 1 and 14 million, like to say. Well, here's the thing is that I've, in all seriousness, I've been working two jobs for a while now. And so with the second job, it hasn't afforded a whole lot of time. Very soon, I'm going to be able to focus a lot more time on podcasting. I've got a new Mr. Adventure about ready to go. Matter of fact, I need to finish up working on the Halloween episode of Mr. Adventure. Then I've got Requiem of the Outcast episode 50 is going to be coming out. It's also our we're going to be starting our sixth year. So we've got a lot of stuff that's been kind of floating around in my head. And when I say we, I do mean myself. So there's a lot of ideas and there's a lot of projects and stuff that I want to do. And I'm finally kind of getting to the point where my time is mine again, instead of, you know, working anywhere from 14 to 16 hours a day. And then on the weekends, I have my kids. So, you know, that's something that there's just so much time that's taken up in just surviving that I'm really going to be able to focus on my projects as well and still have the time for my kids and whatnot. So that's something that I'm actually looking forward to, because I mean, I typically come up with an idea, and this is actual, a new idea for a new podcast about once a week. And so it's only the ones that I go to in 2 weeks' time and say, you know what, I think I actually can do something with this, that I actually do something with. But there have been a lot of things where I thought I had enough ideas, and then the well kind of dries up, and so I kind of stop those. There have been some that I didn't have the equipment. One of the shows that I is still kind of in pre-production, has been for about the past 2 years, is Convince Me, which was where people would challenge me with whatever their geek hobby, passion, fetish is, and I would give it a try. But that's going to be a video cast, and I've got some things recorded, but for each episode that I do have recorded and in the can, there's a few extra things that I need to actually do before I can release them. And I don't have a video camera because mine went tits up doing the Geek Label episode 40 when I did their 1 year video cast. So it's one of those things where I've got a still camera that records video, and I did a video for Myr. I've done a few videos with that, but the quality is so low that it just won't match up well enough with the pre-existing footage, stuff that I don't want to waste. So there's some things where it's hardware-based, where it's time-based that I'm not able to do, and that's why I try to do everything, you know, when I can and how I can, and save it up into where I can actually finish them and release them.
Deadpan is the motherfucking Kiwi way.
Excellent.
Hello, Deadpan. This is the Dub Shack. And I woke up a little early this morning, so I thought I'd share one of my psychedelic dreams. For whatever reason, I was at the police academy taking a quiz, like a paper quiz, and one of the questions was, how do you divide a turkey? And it was an NSA question, and there was like five lines afterwards, so I knew they were expecting either a really long answer or many multiple answers. And I can think of many ways of dividing a turkey. I'm just not sure how many of them you'd actually want to eat it afterwards.
I have a 4-year-old cell phone with a camera in it if you want like really good quality video.
Well, see, mine actually has, if you remember before Stranger Things released their fourth episode at Balticon for the Singularity event, I was at the shoot because Earl had come up to North Carolina, and I recorded a little bit of video footage, and I used my camera, or the camera on my phone. And so it was okay, but it's really not the kind of quality that I want. So, and that's kind of the problem, is that if anything's going to have the Outcast Multimedia logo on it, if I'm going to slap the name Podcasting's Rich Siegfried on something, I want it to be the best that I can make it, you know? A little bit of a perfectionist.
I hear you. Yeah, no, I was kidding. Yeah, you don't really, cell phone, it's really not up to snuff if you want to, you know, if you want to do like real video stuff. It's just not gonna work.
Yeah, and you know, a few years back it wasn't a problem because then content was king. But nowadays, with so many people hitting up YouTube and there being so many amazing podcasts out there, like your Stranger Things, whether it's video or even audio, there now has to be a certain quality. When I first started Roto, before podcasting was around, you know, we could release at 11 kilohertz and no really low quality you know, 8-bit mono, and everybody be like, okay, well, we like the content, so we'll keep listening. Nowadays, if something doesn't sound right, people, it's going to take some pretty amazing content, like life-changing stuff, for people to stick through that, which I just realized how bad that quality was, because I've been converting all of those episodes so I can, all the early episodes, so I could actually put them on the interweb again.
Right, and actually that is a neat thing, you know, that, and we talked about this a little bit, but that's a neat thing for Rotocast, because, I mean, all the people in this community, you know, like we said, it's a pretty small community of people doing our thing here, but, you know, people talk about how long they've been doing it. You hear, like, a year or 2 years, and then you say, well, I've been doing this for 6 years. It's like, wow, that was before podcasting was even a thing, you know, before it even existed. So that's kind of a cool thing. You've got this franchise going there.
Yeah, get off my tubes, you kids!
Exactly. Right, you know, Adam Curry's going to come around and try to beat you up for this stuff.
But, yeah, hey, I've had Curry on my on the show, and I asked him. I was coming back from a con. I was the con had been full of sex, alcohol, and more podcasting. So I was exhausted, and I sit down with him. He was down for shooting a special guest spot on Port City PD. And I was just like, okay, Mr. Curry. So a lot of people think you're a dick. How do you feel about that? You know, and it was just like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I wasn't pulling punches. I wasn't, like, trying to butter him up. Like, what was it like to be on MTV? You know, I was just like, look, dude, okay, you're on my show, okay? Let's get some stuff out of the way. And it ended up being a really, really good interview, both ratings-wise for me, but also for me turning a corner, realizing that I don't have to be so uptight and I can be a little bit more loose with my interviews. And it ended up being a lot of fun. And I don't think it was something that he expected to get, because most people are like, oh, they're just so happy to have him on. So
right, right. And did you make fun of his hair?
No, I didn't. But, you know, he was rolling up his own cigarettes and lighting them and stuff, and he was using notepad paper. So I thought that was odd enough. I was more worried about him setting his hair on fire, so my attention was a little drawn. Okay. But, oh, yeah, he walks in. He's wearing some kind of freaking hippy-dippy clothes, and he's got these shades that are, like, rose-colored, and I'm sure there's a irony in there somehow. Yeah. But or not irony, but a metaphor. And he just looks just like, dude, you know, early 80s douchebaggery called. They'd kind of like their gimmick back. But beyond that, he was a nice guy.
Cool. Early 80s douchebag and Adam Curry. That's two things I never really put together. I don't know. But
really? Didn't have MTV. Yeah. Didn't have cable as a child, did you?
But I see that's another interesting thing. Is that, and that's kind of an interesting thing about what you're doing here, is that face-to-face interviews and podcasting are definitely not the norm. They happen. I mean, I've done them, but they're not the norm. It's usually like what we're doing here. It's usually Skype to Skype because of just the nature of what it is.
Well, for me, you know, because I do a lot of cons every year, so I get the chance to meet a lot of these people. And my preference is absolutely, if you have the chance to do it with somebody in person, it's so much better. Interviewing is a lot like sex. Over the internet, sure, it can work, but it's so much better when you're in their presence.
Right, right, of course.
You just get a better energy. You know, you can kind of get a feel for them, and you can relax them, because especially
are we talking about sex or interviewing?
Yes, I'll get to interviewing in a second. Okay. Well, actually, I'll get to it now. So when you when you actually have the interaction, you can see if they're getting nervous, so you can throw a joke out there to loosen them up. And honestly, you get a lot of these really famous people. They're usually so just stiff and wooden, and I'm talking about sex now, that when you that you can kind of relax them with like a massage or something like that. Now I'm back to interviewing, that you can really kind of loosen them up by making it so much more intimate. Actually, I'm still talking about interviewing now. That they really relax. And I know
I just came, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, good. You know, I always kind of imagined that was exactly how it would sound when you did. Total deadpan. Waka waka. These are the jokes, kids. So
wait, that's not your Muppet. That's the wrong Muppet.
Waka waka waka.
Okay.
But yeah, it, like I was interviewing Jim Butcher, creator of the Dresden Files, and he was a little tense. I mean, it was Christiana Ellis and myself sitting there talking to him, and he was kind of not really relaxing because he, you can tell he normally does interviews, but it's a little tough. And so he was wearing a Sunnydale shirt. So I started talking about Buffy, and he loosened up because we were finding some common ground. We were relating on a more personal level, and then was able to bring up some questions about Dresden Files and Codex Alera. And I realized that because of that, he was far more relaxed and humorous than when he was on a show like Slice of Sci-Fi. You've heard of Slice of Sci-Fi, right? The one of those shows from that Farpoint organization. I don't know if you've heard. Mike Menengay. Yeah, I think they do another one, like some, I don't know, some book thing. You may have heard of it. Anyway.
Something to do with beer.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, like the Alky Show or something. Alky Cast.
Right, Alky and 3D, I think it was.
But and of course that was an example of you know, kind of a ridiculous humor, where I was taking a basic premise and really kind of turning it on its ear, so people didn't realize that you, Jack Mangan, of course, do a lot of work with them. You're tight with them. You go into their studios sometimes. So that's what that. See, this is jokes, kids. So,
but anyway, the way to truly kill comedy is to analyze it.
Exactly. Actually, you know, I'm reading a Steve Allen book called Funny People, and he does talk about, when it comes to analyzing comedy, analyzing humor, is that if you try to teach it to somebody or if you really break it down, then it kills it. There's just no humor in it. Although occasionally it can be good. I think if you throw on a funny voice, a lot of times the jokes can be funny.
Right. Even if your joke is really bad, right, if you say it in a silly way. Exactly. You know, I guess Steve Allen writing a book about being funny, that would be ironic humor.
I believe so. It would be. You know, I used to get him and Larry King confused a lot because they both wear glasses.
Yeah. And actually, you know, it's maybe Steve Allen. I mean, he's way before. I'm just totally trash talking. I think because he's not around to defend himself anymore.
So. Yeah. I love the fact that you're attacking Steve Allen.
Right.
Look, we've got to take this bastard down, man. I'm tired of his reign of comedy.
That's right. Edie Gourmet is next. I'm tired of this.
Where's that fucker George Burns? I'm taking him down.
That's right. Oh, God. What the hell?
You wonder when he died? Because I don't know. I don't know if what your philosophical beliefs are. If George Burns did go to heaven, do you think that was awkward meeting God the first time?
It was probably just like meeting himself. Probably, you know, like that scene in Oh, God, You Devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now what did we just talk about explaining jokes? Damn it, Jack.
I'm sorry, I took that too far. I'm ashamed. All right, let
me throw out some Emo Phillips religious humor. How's that?
There you go. For another obscure reference, there you go.
So I died the other day, and I walked up to God, and then Jesus walked in the room, and he left the door open, and I said, "What? Why don't you close the door? What, were you born in a barn or something?"
Thank you. And now, what would Kermit have said when Jim Henson died? What would Kermit have said at the Pearly Gates, do you think?
Do you know, fuckers, know who I am? Do you know what I've taught the kids? Let me in, you bastards! I don't really know. But see, again, funny voice cursing, children's character, so much right. Funny.
In fact, I'll play that for my kids. I'll see if they find it funny.
You will cream in your jeans when you see
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
Something, something, something.
All right, will our heroes survive till the end? Tune in next time. Same deadpan time, same deadpan channel. And let me reiterate, or I can just iterate, because I'm iteratic, apparently. The efforts, wonderful efforts of SB and Vanimond will not go to waste. Expect to hear that. Expect to hear something from them. And that's it. I'm not going to outro babble long because we'll be on to Deadpan number 112 very soon. So thank you very much for listening. And Greasy Spoon comments and all that stuff coming up in Deadpan number 112. Deadpan is the mofo way. I'm not coming back after the, you know. This one is called The Train off of the Wishing Bridge album.